Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In 14 minutes, which Redskins have to step up if they're going to win in week two? 12:45, we'll go around the NFL. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On the Fan. Each day at noon, we jam-pack a lot of info on a bunch of teams into one segment. We call it our Beltway Blitz. The Nats, Virginia Tech football to be covered in moments. Let's kick things off with the Redskins.
The Redskins.
Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. He's out in L.A. ahead of Sunday's game to get some intel from practice today. Craig, this Rams team was great, but having gone back and watched some of that win over the Colts, I don't know how much I learned about them. I think the Colts were terrible and aren't a good team. What's your take on their week one win?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I don't know what to make of it either. They looked really good. They did their jobs, they being the Rams. Unfortunately, it's hard to predict how doing their jobs will look against a defense that isn't wandering around clueless like the Colts was. And I don't mean that to be necessarily insulting. It's just that the Colts are really, really inexperienced. And Breshad Breeland was talking about this yesterday in the locker room, how it's a completely different game because the Colts are so young. One of his buddies is one of the Colts DBs, and he played wide receiver at Clemson, and all of a sudden he's flipped around, and one of his first games as a corner in the NFL is against that offense that we all know is so intricate and was so well run last week by the Rams. But what does it look like against a defense that is more experienced, more skilled, and knows the offense inside and out? That is the question this week, to which I cannot answer, otherwise I'd be in Vegas, not Los Angeles.
The names have been changed to reference the past here. I really like this Malcolm Kelly situation that the Redskins are going through again with Josh Doctson. The lack of, I have no patience for it at this stage. I'm sure Jay Gruden's fed up. What's the latest there? I'm sure he was limited again, and because I said his name, he probably has another hamstring issue. What's going on?
Yeah, it seemed a little less angsty yesterday at the press conference, but he's still got that tight hamstring, and what it sounds like is it's going to limit his snap count. They don't want to push it too far. And, of course, last week, the way that looked was pretty unsatisfactory to all of us, and that includes Jay Gruden. So I think this week perhaps we see a little bit more, but that's hard to say. The plan was for him to participate fully in practice all week and double his snap count. I'd be pretty much stunned at this point if he gets anywhere close to that on Sunday.
Give us a list of guys, and there are a plethora of them, who have to be better in week two for them to win. This is what we're going to take calls on next segment.
Ooh, that's a really good one. Morgan Moses is probably at the top of the list. You can't afford to help too many guys along this offensive line because you're going to need your help inside. And that's not a shot at LaVau and Long and Brandon Scherff, who actually was better than I originally thought last week. But that's just a compliment to Aaron Donald. That dude's a monster. And wherever he is, he's going to need help. So all the outside rushers are going to have to, or all the outside blockers are going to have to beat the outside rushers one-on-one. So Morgan Moses certainly is the starting point for me because they can't afford to help him out too much. I would say Jordan Reed needs to be better. I think he can be used better. I think Jay Gruden probably would agree with that if you injected him with truth serum and put a microphone in front of his face. Terrell Pryor quite obviously needs to be better. And then Kirk Cousins needs to be a lot better. Quarterback play last week was less than stellar. The timing and rhythm of your offense comes down to him getting in a groove. And so I would like to see him be a lot more accurate with the football, a couple of different decisions. Overall, though, the decision-making was good enough. It's the execution that's got to be better. And, of course, on the other end of the ball, catching it would be nice, too, and that's where 11 comes in.
Craig, enjoy Los Angeles, and when you're sitting in traffic, think about times where you're not in traffic. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Yeah, like when I'm driving around D.C.
Exactly. Thank you, dude. Let's keep it going with another dude named Craig.
National.
Craig Heist covers the Nationals for 106.7. The Fan. Heisty, that was an important win yesterday. I know it sounds ridiculous, but coming into this weekend with the Dodgers, I thought they needed to get off the schneid a little bit to remind themselves, oh yeah, we're still pretty capable to be able to get going here before the playoffs come.
No question about it. And when you stop to think they had 16 runs put up on them in the first two games of that Braves series, last night was a big win for them. And they got the win by the help of some of the youngsters without Zimmerman in the lineup, without Murphy in the lineup last night, and Rendon. So this was a pretty nice win for the Nats, and especially with the way Tanner Roark pitched up until the sixth inning. He had settled in really nicely, allowed a two-out walk in the first inning, but then set down 11 or 12 straight before, you know, he got into trouble in the sixth inning. So, yeah, overall, I think Dusty Baker has to be happy with that one last night.
Hi, Steve, what is wrong with the Dodgers who are at Nats Park for three?
Well, I don't know what's wrong with them, Grant, other than the fact that, on the flip side of that, we're watching the Indians go through 22 in a row in the win column, and the Dodgers just went into a little bit of a slide. And here's a team that everybody said was the best team in baseball, and they come in, they didn't get the great starting pitching that they're used to getting. The offense went into a little bit of a funk. We'll see now, though, that they've won a couple in a row, and what was so tough about the first two losses of that Braves series for the Nationals is the fact that they lost two games in the standings to the Dodgers in terms of best record over those last 2 days. But still, this is a pretty important series for them this weekend. And I think nationally, a lot of people will be watching this series just to see how the Nats kind of match up against what everybody thinks was the best team in baseball during the course of the year.
I stay quickly. We saw the video. Bryce Harper was yogging. It's a brisk J around the outfield warning track. Looked like he was doing it without any kind of, you know, hesitation or limp or hitch in his gait. What do we know?
Well, it's a good sign. He went foul pole to foul pole three different times, and he did tell my friend Ken Rosenthal yesterday that he is hoping that if he can get in the lineup and be that third, be in that third position, regardless of what kind of shape he is health-wise, he feels like he can help this team out. Now, I know the plan is to try to get him down to West Palm and get him some at-bats down there, and then, get him back up here a little bit. He'll be with the instructional league down there, but getting back up here and have him face live pitching here, and then hopefully by the last week of the season getting back in the lineup for some action.
Star, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. See you. Bye.
Let's talk a little college pigskin.
The Hokies.
Virginia Tech's a clean 2-0, and they looked great defensively, shutting out Delaware 27-0 last week. John Lazor's the voice of the Hokies. You can hear his calls on 106.7 The Fan. They're at East Carolina, 3:30 kickoff tomorrow. Tell us about this game, John.
Well, yeah. Hey, guys. We're on our way to Greenville at the moment, and this is a game in which the Hokies are favored by more than three touchdowns. East Carolina got throttled pretty good last week by West Virginia, who, of course, the Hokies beat up in D.C., in week one. So everything on paper and everything in the matchup would indicate that the Hokies should be and are a heavy favorite, but you're a little worried about history because Tech lost at Dowdy Ficklin Stadium 2 years ago and then lost as three touchdown favorites last year to Syracuse. But again, in terms of the matchup, you'd like the chance of certainly going on the road for the first time.
John, assess Josh Jackson here through a couple games. Really impressive, obviously carrying the football, but just enough in the passing game to this point to make Virginia Tech pretty dangerous. How is he?
Yeah, the big thing that he's done well is he has taken ball security to a higher level than it was, particularly at the outset of the season last year. He's made some big throws when he's needed to. He's obviously used his legs, as you can see, most prominently in that West Virginia game. But he hasn't put the defense in any bad spots. He's allowed this defense, which is without question the strength of this Tech football team, to be in good positions, to be ahead in the field position battle. And when he's needed to throw the football away on third down, he's done that. When he's needed to just stuff it and need a play, he's done that. And then when he's needed to use his arm and or legs to make a big play, he's done that. So his intelligence level seems to be well ahead of a redshirt freshman. And right now he's doing a great job orchestrating this offense. And obviously the hope is that he blossoms week to week to week. And we'll see more out of him this week than we did last.
John, I know what I'm about to ask you is irresponsible and way ahead of the game, but I am curious. Clemson on the schedule on September 30th. That's a massive game. But if the Hokies were able to win that game, what could we be talking about this season for them? What is best case scenario for this Virginia Tech bunch? We know what the floor would look like, but what is the ceiling?
Well, it might be irresponsible to ask, but it's going to be even more irresponsible of me to answer, which I will do. And yeah, I said after West Virginia, that was the most prolific opponent on your non-conference schedule. Now you got to take care of business this weekend and then Old Dominion coming to your place next week. But what you did by beating West Virginia was you bought yourself opportunity and you bought yourself optimism because, yes, Clemson obviously looked like they have a dominant defense and they're a top two team in the nation and win with good reason, but they're coming to your place. It's going to be a sellout. It's an absolute fever pitch already. around that game and has been for months. So to cut to the meatier question, if the Hokies were to somehow find a way to win that game, and granted they're going to be big underdogs regardless of what they do the next 2 weeks, then the sky's the limit at that point. There are some tough games ahead of them in the Coastal Division, but more than likely, particularly all the home games, they would be favorites in. Now, this is a lot of things down the road and injuries and whatever else, the unforeseen, but for your hypothetical, if you win that game and you're sitting there at 5-0, and you start thinking bigger picture, you're obviously a top 10 team at that point.
John, always love having you, buddy. Have a great call this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see
Enjoy matinee football. There's John Lazor, Virginia Tech Hokies play-by-play voice. The list of Redskins who have to improve in week two from week one.
It's a long list.
Longer than Cinderella's to-do list. We will make that list. We'll tell you who has to improve more than the rest of their teammates to give them the best chance. We'll take your calls on this as well next on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.